Hi, this is Alan Chartok on the Congressional Corner with Democratic candidate Antonio Delgado. You know, Antonio Delgado, it has been said, I know the Cuomos have felt this way, that sometimes your name, whether you have a vowel at the end of your name, counts. I dare say you have two great names, Antonio, Italian, and Delgado, certainly sounds Spanish to me. I'll bet there are people who walk in there and say, I'm going to vote for the Italian guy or the Spanish guy.
Well, I hope they go in there and say, I want to vote for the guy who I saw at a town hall, or I want to vote for the guy who I believe will make sure I have affordable, accessible health care, or I want to vote for the guy who will deal with the problem of wage stagnation and make sure that my children can drink clean water and breathe clean air. And we're doing everything in our power to make sure that people can make that choice.
You know, I don't want to take your material away from you, but I do want to ask you a question, and I hope it doesn't offend you. It seems to me that the most powerful argument for a Democrat running today is that if the Republican wins, even if you like the Republican, even if you like the Republican, if the Republican wins, he's going to vote or she's going to vote for the Republican candidate for Speaker. The House will organize. And once again, there will be nobody, but nobody, no House, no Senate, to hold this president responsible. How much are you hearing that in town meetings?
I mean, I think because I am having town meetings, and these meetings are very much focused on the dynamics right at home, that's a macro point you make. I think there's a point within that point that is even more salient for a lot of the folks in New York 19. And that is, we have somebody within our midst who's currently serving us, who is indeed a career politician, who is a lobbyist who violated the law and was penalized for doing so. Who is backed by outside interests, individuals like the Mercer family, who takes upwards of $1 million in corporate PAC money, who literally sat down with Paul Ryan, his leader, right here in upstate New York. And when Paul Ryan was asked, why are you here? Why are you supporting the congressman? He said he makes our majority work. Not he works for the people, but he makes our majority work. So we have an opportunity here to really put somebody in office who's not beholden to the party or party leadership or outside interests, but only beholden to the people. And that's what I'm determined to do. So I think people really understand that with Congressman Fazio, they have somebody who is a career politician who does not appear to be beholden to them. And they now have an opportunity to change that reality.
So this is apparently something that the Rexograph machine has been distributing to Democratic candidates. And nobody wants to touch the I word or impeachment. You know, and there's a stock answer. The stock answer is, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, or something like that. What are you thinking about impeachment in a real Rhodes Scholar, Harvard, both of which you went to, sense?
Well, I wouldn't refer to it as a stock answer. I think it's a responsible answer. And it's important to understand that we do have an ongoing investigation, and that investigation is leading to a number of indictments, guilty pleas, sentences, and convictions. And so we have to make sure that, if anything, we protect this investigation. And that's why I've been advocating for a bipartisan bill to protect the prosecutor, Bob Mueller. Something that I have not heard from the congressman. I also disagree with the congressman when he says that he understands why people are impatient with the length of the investigation. Why? Why would anybody be impatient with the length when the investigation is actually bearing a lot of fruit that we, I would imagine, want to know? And I think we should make sure this investigation concludes. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of things that, you know, certainly warrant more investigation. And I think once we get to a point where we have all the facts in front of us, we can make an informed decision. The other way to look at this is, if we act before the conclusion of an investigation and rush to judgment, what does that do for the state of our democracy? You know, we're already at each other's throats right now from a partisan standpoint. So it's important to make sure that from a process place, we do this appropriately as far as making sure everything comes out. And then we can make an informed decision based on those facts.
If the Mueller, what you're telling us now, I want to make sure I get this right. If the Mueller investigation implicates the president and says, okay, he was involved with the Russians, or he was involved with this or that, or he's made money antithetical to the spirit of America that incumbents should do that, then you might be willing to vote for his impeachment.
As I said, if at the conclusion of the investigation there are facts that warrant that decision, I certainly will not run away from that decision.
Let's go to foreign policy. Let's talk about the Saudis for a moment. America is transfixed with what's going on here. A guy gets a journalist who lives in America but is Saudi, gets brought into a consulate in Turkey. He is killed and dismembered, and the Turks have it on tape. What do you make of it?
You know, it's a horrible situation. Just on a human level, we're talking about an individual who, like you said, is a resident of America, a journalist for The Washington Post, and clearly was tortured because he spoke out against his government, which is antithetical in terms of how he was treated to our principles here in America. You know, free press, free speech, the rule of law. These are the underpinnings of any well-functioning democracy. And so we have got to seriously reassess our relationship with Saudi Arabia. And this goes back to its involvement, or at least the individuals on those airplanes back in 9/11. It also goes back to what's going on in Yemen right now with the civil war. We have a lot of things that we have to reevaluate when it comes to our relationship with Saudi, and understand that just because there's an economic benefit, whether it's through arms deals or oil or the like, that cannot be the justification to overlook our moral values. You know, making the deal should not be enough to overlook what it means to be a democracy or to fight for our shared democratic principles. And I think it's imperative now that we think long and hard about how we can make sure that these types of this type of conduct is not tolerated. It's scary to think that the Crown Prince thought, or anybody in that government thought, that this would be appropriate or acceptable on the world stage. And I think we have to certainly push back against that as the facts keep coming out and it's become more and more clear that something incredibly horrific has occurred.
Okay, so here's a tough question for you. I'm sorry. The United States' hands have not always been clean. You know, when I was a young man, we had John Foster Dulles. We were going into democracies and making sure that the bad guys won. We've waterboarded. We've done things like that. If you're a congressman, do you think it is the responsibility of the congressman to watch that American hands stay clean?
I mean, at the end of the day, it is the obligation and the responsibility of Congress to oversee or declare war and engage in foreign affairs. You know, that's part of the problem I have with the authorization for use of military force. It gave too much power to the executive branch, and it creates a reality that is not healthy. And there has to be a role for Congress to play to balance the order here and have a check on the executive branch to make sure that we don't just meander into these scenarios that don't reflect our shared values. Now, as you know, this country, you know, has had its ups and downs. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I think what's always guided us are our founding principles and the notion that we are a country that follows the rule of law, that we are a country that believes in free press, that we are a country that believes in freedom of speech. And I think as long as we stay true to those principles, we'll be okay. And it's going to always be a fight. And our leaders matter in that regard because they set the tone.
Okay, so I got time for just a short question. And that is, do you think that the Republican majority in the United States Congress has been observing not their political duty, but their citizen duty in this concept of watching the executive branch? Have they been doing what they should be doing?
No. They've abdicated their responsibility and their duties and their obligations. They are not functioning as a co-equal branch of government. The party in power right now is protecting the party.
And if you were a Democratic congressman and you got a Democratic president and he was doing some of the things, do you like to think you would be yelling foul?
Well, what I would be doing is taking actions to make sure that we serve as a check. So, for example, like I said, we'd be passing bipartisan resolution to protect Bob Mueller. You know, we make sure we pass legislation that protects our electoral infrastructure, which the current Republican Congress did not do. You know, we're not taking steps to hold Russia really accountable for its actions and its meddling in our elections. So there are a lot of things that we could be doing collectively as a country and as members of Congress on a bipartisan basis to demonstrate that we are putting country before party.
Antonio Delgado, great to talk to you as usual.
Good talking to you.
And when we come back the next time, I got a whole bunch of different questions for you.
I look forward to it, man.